It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. The Green Bay Packers opened their NFL season yesterday with a commanding 27-13 win over division rival Detroit Lions at Lambeau Field.
It was the debut for Green Bay's new defensive star, Micah Parsons, who the team traded for in a blockbuster deal with the Dallas Cowboys at the end of August.
We are previewing what the season ahead could look like after the Week 1 win and how expectations change after an acquisition like Parsons.
Peter Bukowski is co-founder of the Packers newsletter, The Leap, and he is host of the daily podcast called Locked On Packers. Peter, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
It's good to be here.
All right, a decisive first victory. What did you make of the way the Packers came out of the gate to start the season?
It had to have exceeded all reasonable expectation for what you thought this could be with Micah Parsons, with the offense. This is what the Detroit Lions usually do to everyone else. They win by winning at the line of scrimmage, and that is what the Packers did. You brought in Micah Parsons, but you didn't expect Micah Parsons to play that much. Matt LaFleur admitted after the game, Micah Parsons played more than they thought he was going to. And in fact, Matt LaFleur seemed a little perturbed that defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley played Parsons as much as he did, especially with a quick turnaround. They play this Thursday against the Commanders at Lambeau Field. But what the Packers were able to do defensively, especially against a Detroit Lions offense that was outstanding last year, historically good in some metrics, it was a remarkable performance from this defense. And when you start fast, that allows your defense to be able to play that way.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about the Parsons storyline in just a moment, but we really saw such remarkable defense and four sacks of Jared Goff, the Lions quarterback. Can you talk a little bit about the pressure on Goff?
It was constant. And the question, I think, coming in for the Lions, they were bringing three new starters in that offensive line. This was, for the last two seasons, probably one of the three best offensive lines in the NFL, pass protecting and as a run blocking unit. Like, the Packers are an excellent pass protection unit, but they're not nearly as good in the run game. The Lions had an elite offensive line. Three new starters, including a rookie at right guard. Christian Mahogany was a rookie last year. He played left guard in this game. Graham Glasgow, who is a journeyman, you know, veteran center. And then the right guard, Tate Ratledge, who's a rookie out of Georgia. Three new guys along this front. Continuity is so important for an offensive line. And so what the Packers were able to do was throw different looks at this offensive line, confuse them. And then when they got one-on-one matchups, I mean, I joked yesterday on social media that on the play that Lucas Van Ness got a sack, he bull rushed Christian Mahogany to Eshwabanon. Like, it was, he just absolutely walked him into the backfield. And there was a play in the red zone on, I believe it was the Lions' third drive. The Packers are showing like they're going to send everybody. It looks like an all-out blitz. They ended up only bringing three. Normally, you're going to send four. They only bring three. But Jared Goff is expecting the pressure because they had been successful getting to him all game. He looks up and panics because he expects the pressure to be there. And throws an inaccurate pass. They have to settle for a field goal. That was a big play in this game. And it was just trickery from Jeff Hafley. When your front is winning that way,
yeah,
it allows you to then play mind games with the opponent. And Jared Goff is a veteran. You don't expect that, but they were able to do it on Sunday.
Okay, Peter, let's turn to the Micah Parsons storyline here. So big. Can you put the magnitude of a trade like this into context for us? And how historic of a move is this for the Packers?
It's really hard, I think, to put into context because we have not seen the Packers make a move like this ever. That's why it's hard, because there's really no analog for this in Green Bay Packers history. Now, there have been bigger trades. I think comfortably make the case that Brett Favre, given what they gave up, you know, to give a first round pick to a guy that I think had six career passes when the Packers traded for him, was insane. I can only imagine what social media would have thought of that at the time. Like, it would have been pitchforks at dawn for Ron Wolf, but it worked. And I think you have to go back to Reggie White, when he said, you know, God told me I had to go to Green Bay, This feels like that. The only player, in fact, with more sacks in his first four seasons than Micah Parsons, Reggie White. So to get a player of that caliber, these guys just don't become available. A 26-year-old at the peak of his physical prowess is just unheard of. These guys don't become available. Khalil Mack was traded to the Bears from Las Vegas in 2018. We remember that iconic Aaron Rodgers game, that first game out. Mm-hmm. He got hurt, and Khalil Mack was the reason. Khalil Mack destroyed that game for the Chicago Bears, and they won 12 games that season. Khalil Mack was I think a year and a half, 18 months older at the time, and was traded because Mike Davis for the Las Vegas, I think they were in Oakland at the time, but the Raiders owner didn't have the cash flow to pay the guaranteed money. I don't have to go into some of the minutiae of the reasons for that, but this was just Jerry Jones feeling like he wanted to win the negotiation. Hmm. It became personal, and the Packers benefited. We got reporting from Diana Rossini at The Athletic that Micah Parsons had two teams he wanted to go to, the Philadelphia Eagles or the Green Bay Packers. And the Eagles are in the Cowboys division. That's a non-starter. The Eagles are also the defending Super Bowl champions. No way is Jerry Jones going to send him in the division to Philadelphia. He ends up in Green Bay. And this is the move that a lot of fans in and outside of Green Bay and in and outside of Cheesehead Nation insisted Brian Gutekunst, the general manager, was just not going to make. Hmm. He was not going to make the big move. And then he did. He did. And in the same offseason where they use a first round pick on a receiver for the first time in 20 years, guys. Like, this is an offseason for Brian Gutekunst of breaking trends in exactly the way Packer fans have been begging for him to do.
Peter Bukowski with us for analysis, writer for The Leap and host of the Locked On Packers podcast. Let's take a listen to Parkins. Talked about the game, about the frustrations that came with being traded, and how the Packers are embracing him in the locker room. Let's listen.
The fact that I was traded a week before the season, it was really outrageous and rough. It's something where I could have been with these guys getting better and better. And we could have had probably even more dominant start, you know, if that was the decision we were going to make. So I'm just happy that's behind. These guys embrace me. They believe in my talents. They believe in me. And I'm just going to give these guys everything I have because I know what's at stake.
Mm. So really outrageous and rough, he says there at the beginning. How do you think he fits into the locker room culture and the existing leadership structure on the defense?
Yeah, this is a player who, remember, is, you know, the Dallas Cowboys players, I think, nationally have a certain reputation just because they play on the Cowboys. And I think that is often unfair. Hmm. But they get certain, they get viewed in a certain light, and I think they get overcovered by the national media. And so there is a certain level of hype around them. He has his own podcast. And so there's been this perception that Micah Parsons is this look at me guy. This is a kid who grew up in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, played at Penn State. He's a football guy. He just loves to play. This is a great story. I heard this over the weekend, guys. He was a high school wrestler, and he would go to football practice or football workouts, and he did not think that they were intense enough. So he'd then go and work out with the wrestling team because he was like, I want to get more work in. And he would challenge these wrestlers to matches. And these are guys that went on to be Olympians, but he thought he could beat them. Hmm. He's that competitive. He's that, you know, you love a pass rusher who's maybe a little bit on the edge, right? A little bit of like, you know, a little bit of delusional confidence. You want that irrational confidence from those guys. And he's just a competitor. Like, you know, he's a football psycho in that way. And so, well, they needed a little bit of that. They needed a little bit of that edge.
Well, Peter, you know, we had to see Jordan Love then share the spotlight of this moment. Also, Love had surgery on his non-throwing thumb last month. Does it seem like that's affected him at all? And how does he, resonate with this Parsons move?
So Jordan Love and Micah Parsons are friends off the field. They share an agent that can normally be overblown, but they are actually friends off the field. Hmm. And so I think that they are happy to share this moment. In fact, Jordan Love was on Micah Parsons' podcast about a year ago. Micah asked if you could add anyone in the league to your team, who would it be? And Jordan Love said you.
Oh, wow.
And so ends up, you know, and I don't think he was playing to the crowd. I think if you'd have given the Packers an option to trade for anyone in the NFL in April, let's say, they would have probably picked Micah Parsons. And so I think Jordan Love just wants to win. I don't think he is a look at me player that maybe, you know, a previous quarterback or two might have been in a situation like this, would have minded sharing the spotlight. I think Jordan Love is all about the team, is all about winning. He is one of the guys. And so as long as Micah Parsons does the same, I think this is going to be a beautiful marriage between these two guys.
It's a quick turnaround for Thursday night against the Washington Commanders. How healthy is the team for kind of back-to-back games like this?
Yeah, it is tough because Zach Tom, the Packers starting right tackle, was hurt in this game. And they brought in a player that the Packers had just traded for, Darian Kennard, who played for the Eagles. He's played in the NFL for, I think he's won a Super Bowl in every season he's played. I think it's just the two seasons so far. But that's maybe he can make it another one here. They have really good depth along the offensive line, and so that helps them. It seems like defensively they got out pretty cleanly. Offensively, Jordan Love seemed to have come through with that. You mentioned that thumb injury. He came out pretty clean in this game. So Jaden Reed has the foot injury. He seemed to come out okay. If they can get Nate Hobbs back, who was one of their big free agent acquisitions at cornerback, you know, they'll be really healthy heading into this matchup with the Commanders, who, by the way, were in the NFC Championship game last year. This is another really stiff test for them.
Peter, thank you so much for the analysis. Thanks for joining us.
I had fun. Thanks, guys.
Peter Bukowski is co-founder of the Green Bay Packers newsletter, The Leap, and he's host of the daily podcast. It's called Locked On Packers. He was with us to preview what's in store for the rest of the Packers season. The Pack, as you heard, will host the Washington Commanders on Thursday at Lambeau.